Hey, little ones, welcome to the Poundcast. I'm your host, Michael.
No, I'm just kidding. This is Brent.
Just kidding. This is Brent. That's Brent. And we have Vic Berger today. Welcome to the Poundcast, Brent.
Hello, little
Brent
ones.
And Vic.
I was little Vic actually growing up. Like that was because I was the fourth. You know, my dad was Big Vic, and I was little Vic. So I'm a little one.
Yeah, I've seen that many times when there's like there's a big one and a small one, but usually the big one is just that means just they're older. Sometimes they're not even bigger.
Right.
Right. They might even be smaller.
Actually, there was this guy that I worked with. His name was I think there was two Jeffs or something, let's say, or two Robs. No, he was Little Rob. So they would call him Little Rob. And he was big. He was bigger than the big Rob, and I started calling him Tiny, and then that took. I was like, "Hey, Tiny!" Well, he was like way bigger than me.
Well, no, Tiny is a very common nickname for a guy who's big.
Yeah,
there's that Tiny Lister. What's that guy's name? Tiny Lister Smith or something. The guy who plays Zeus in the movie No Holds Barred, and he's also in Friday. But anyways, look, let's say this though. This episode is brought to you by Louisville Vegan Jerky, Louisville Vegan Foods. You can find their products at louisvilleveganfoods.com. And you can also get a discount on all their stuff by using a 20% discount by using the code word Poundcast when you make your order. They do vegan jerky, okay? Like this stuff is 100% meatless. That's right. There's no meat.
Fake meat.
And what do you say again? Fake meat. That's right. There's fake meat. It's fake meat, and they have flavors ranging from Carolina barbecue to gochujang.
We got buffalo dill, Brent. We got smoked black pepper. We got perfect pepperoni.
What is it? Gochujang?
Gochujang. Sesame.
Gochujang.
Gochujang. I don't know.
Well, anyway, you know,
I'll never know how to pronounce that, but
wild,
I look
exotic flavors.
Good, I'll say that. You know?
And anyway, look, the stuff is bagged in the United States. You can find it in stores. You can get it online. Whatever you want, man. I mean, shelf life of 9 months. It's all coming together.
And go look, on iTunes and buy it.
You can't go to iTunes and buy it, but you can go to LouisvilleVeganFoods.com or LVJCo.com. Both of those work, and you can use the code word Poundcast and get 20% off. That's how you support the show.
Ain't that the truth?
Ain't that the truth?
And guess what else you can do? If you want to see video of this episode, you can go to youtube.com/
The Poundcast.
The Poundcast.
And if you want to support us on Patreon, you will get the bonus episode, the After Dark extended cut. And today we went for a full today the bonus part is longer than the main episode, and the only way to access that is going to patreon.com/poundcast, and that's how you can support us and keep this show rocking and rolling.
I tell you this, you go to once again patreon.com/poundcast, you can also get access to the After Dark video, which might be useful in a lot of situations when there's visual things happening on the show. And also, there's these different accounts, you know, such as Instagram and Twitter, and it's all the Poundcast. The Poundcast is what it is. And also, if you like the show only, rate and review it on Apple Music, okay? If you like the show.
Simple and as that.
Finally, I'll just say this, that this episode is one-on-one style, and it's a little bit more of a looser episode than usual, I would say, a little more open, there's more open space, and I will be the first to admit that I was at one point battling a sleep spell during the episode, and I feel that kind of maybe threw me off a little bit, but maybe that helped out in some ways. I don't know. Who knows, you know? But maybe not.
I thought it was okay. Me and Vic kept it rolling.
They did. So, you know, there you go. But this was a looser episode. You know, see how, you know, you see how it goes. But I'll tell you what, though, there are some funny bits in there, especially in the After Dark at the end.
I know. You got to go to patreon.com/podcast for that.
You got to stick through the, you can't even fast forward. You just have to listen all the way through to the very end.
That's right.
Isn't that right, little ones?
You should just call this episode Little Ones.
Yeah. Right, Little Ones. You know how they
right,
have that.
Like, and today we have a remix from one of our Patreon subscribers. And Brent, who is that? Our Patreon subscribers have been remixing the theme song. They get access to all the stems on Patreon.
Wait, you know how there's that? You know how there's that show called Hot Ones? You know that?
Yes.
What if we really did start a show called Little Ones?
Yeah, we just call it Little Ones. Just take this show and just make it be called Little Ones.
Yeah, all right. Anyway, we have this little one is named Steve LeGros, and he is from a band called Sketch Pilot, and the Sketch Pilot's Instagram account is Sketch Pilot Band, okay? SKETCH, Pilot Band. And yeah, here is a remix that Steve LeGros from Sketch Pilot made.
Let's roll the clip, and then we'll get on to the show with 101 with Brent and Doug plus Vic Berger.
Little roll one little on ones. Little one plus
roll the clip
plus little Vic. Roll it.
Welcome to the Poundcast, Brent.
Welcome to the Poundcast, Doug and Vic.
Aren't you going to say hello?
Hey, guys.
Vic is here. Vic Berger is here again, sitting in. This time he's behind me on this side. A little something different.
Yeah. I've got a lot of Pennywise drops right
now. I like how your computer matches your shirt.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it sure does.
Blending right in there.
Today is a classic one-on-one pound cast, just one-on-one style, but we also have...
One-on-one style.
One-on-one style.
Yeah, I have one topic to address, actually. It relates to the previous episode.
But good, because... Yeah, I mean, life's coming at me fast, and I didn't even get a chance to think about anything to talk about today. But that's the magic of the show. We're just going to make it happen. We're going to make it work.
One-on-one style.
And maybe some drops will help.
Yeah. You know, I actually, speaking of Tim Allen, I have a Tim Allen joke that I used to do, and it's not an album of mine. And that's not what I was going to talk about, but that just made me think.
Well, let's hear it.
Yeah.
I have a Tim Allen joke that I used to do, too.
Well, I have a joke. I have a couple Tim Allen jokes, actually, but one of them was that, you know, I'm a big comedy fan, and I once had the privilege of seeing Tim the Toolman Taylor live and in concert. And for his big finale, he took the microphone and put it next to his buttocks and passed gas into the microphone, and it sounded like this.
Well, we were kind of waiting for that sound to come in. It's hard to do a Tim Allen joke without doing that.
Well,
my joke indeed had that sound. It was more of a...
Oh, did.
Yeah, it's long. You kind of have to hear it. It's a musical joke, but, you know, it has to do with, like, Little John. You know, remember Little John? Turned down. You know that song, Turned Down for What?
Oh, yeah. No, I heard it.
You remember that joke? I was, like, DJing at Little John's house, and Tim Allen was his next-door neighbor. And he said the music was too loud. And then I said, it was like something like, I said, turn down for.
See, that sounded, that did sound like a fart just now.
It was like this, turn down for.
Doesn't it? Can you imagine that that's what Tim Allen's farts would sound like?
Vic, I think that's, turn up the drops a little bit more. Come on. More.
Okay. I thought that was, that's a good volume.
Turn them up. I like them a little louder.
What is, but what about, what about Jonathan Taylor Thomas? What do his farts sound like?
Vic, can you make one of those, Vic, go backwards? Vic,
go ahead.
Yeah, I wish.
It's like, or pitched up.
I can't, I don't have the capability of doing that. So
that's
pretty close.
Well, that's more of a Zachary type Brian.
He's from my hometown, so he probably ate a lot of pierogies. And,
you know. Oh, Zachary type Brian?
Oh, no, the other JTT.
Oh, JTT.
Yeah, not Brian.
Brent, if you had a show like a sitcom,
my dream.
You wanted it to be a hit. It needs some kind of catchphrase or something like that. Like,
Mm-hmm.
What would be yours?
It's funny you say that. That is my whole bit. That's the other Tim Allen bit, is that there's all these successful people. They always have a trademark sound or noise that they make.
Who else has a successful noise?
Well, Michael Jackson. He goes, hee hee. You know?
He's got a few Tim sounds, Allen. Right, Vic?
Yeah. I deleted all those because they were offending people.
Are you serious?
Yeah, yeah. Like, they were triggering people. It was like all the.
And, oh, those are the best. I love, know, those.
I got rid of it.
Come on, you got them.
No, I don't have them. And I used to have the drop that was like,
they're into,
happy birthday, little one. Mine, it's your right? birthday.
Oh, well, that one's creepy.
That was really creepy.
Happy birthday, little right. one.
Well, our audience likes the Michael Jackson stuff. Oh, I think.
Okay. Let me go.
Right? Don't they? They crave it. Right?
I mean, don't worry about it. Okay, so Michael Jackson has like, he has a few.
They're panting for it.
I mean, he does like, yeah. The puppies are panting.
They love Michael Jackson sounds.
Yeah, he goes like this. He goes hee hee, but he also goes da da.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Really? No, he's got the chamada. Yeah. Cause I'm big. No.
Well, that's a whole nother joke I had about his, well, his Michael Jackson nother, was hiccuping during his songs.
It's a whole nother joke I would have.
Like it, like it.
Do you know hello. This one? This is when he's feeding his baby.
Okay, here we go. Abu, Abu, Abu. Yes, Abu. Like it.
Wait,
it's,
Michael Jackson's feeding his baby?
This is, it's the most insane thing you'll ever see.
I love my
see.
Children very much.
And his knee is going, like it's like clearly like the first time he's ever fed his kid.
Seen his,
but he's trying to like prove that he's a dad, and his knee is going up and down. It's so,
he kind of does a thing where he talks with he makes certain words have an SH to them. You know, he's, hey, it's my favorite. I'm trying to think of a word that, I guess words that with an S, he'll add an SH instead. Right. So
what is he? So what's he saying when he's saying Simone? Shimon? What is that?
Well, no, I mean, it's more at the end of a word.
Oh, at the end. Some, okay.
Yeah. Or
wait, when he says Shimon, he's saying Simone in that song?
I thought he was saying come on. It was a weird way of saying come on. Shimon. He was going, Shimon, come on, you know. He was kind of saying, come on. But he's kind of doing it in his own Michael Jackson kind of way. So he's kind of.
What song is that? Beat It?
Yeah.
Wait. Shimon. Shimon. No, it's bad. It's bad. It's in bad. Right?
Yeah, bad.
Do you know I'm bad? I'm bad. Do you know it? Come on. Wait.
Yeah. It's come on.
What?
Lay it on me. Lay it on me all night. He found him.
Okay.
So that's
right. Yeah, no, what was your, okay, back to that joke though, what was your sound gonna be?
Oh, well, I mean the joke is that I ask people in the audience if they can help me create the sound. So give me a, I say describe the sound and I'll make it happen, basically. You know, describe it in words and then I'll actualize it in, I'll audibly actualize it. But it ends up me sort of just doing a bird noise, basically, and going,
so let's run the bit. Okay.
No, I mean, well, okay. Actually, you know, get here. I mean, this is sort of a, let's just do a new thing. Well, first of all, I still have a thing to talk about, but
okay, let's get to it.
But no, I mean, what? No, let's not like break the energy here. So here, hey, you describe a sound and I'll try to make it happen with my voice. Describe it in words.
By the way, the first lyric on Bad is "Your butt is mine."
I was just talking about this with somebody, maybe my sister, but you know, I was watching these Prince clips. You know, there was kind of a rivalry with Prince.
Who's he talking about?
Well,
your butt is mine.
In Bad, well, in the TV show Bad, you know how there's an altercation between Michael and Wesley Snipes.
Wait, back up. What?
In the TV or the music video? Or?
Yeah, I called it a TV show as a joke. Okay, but okay. In the music video for Bad, the beginning of it starts off with him. Michael's having an altercation with somebody in the subway, and it's played by Wesley Snipes. Do you guys know this? Well, anyway.
I haven't seen that video in...
Well, Wesley was...
Decades.
Originally, that role was offered to Prince to play that role that Wesley Snipes plays.
Of the bad guy?
Yeah, of the rival guy. And Prince, in an interview, was saying... Well, the first line of the song is "Your butt is mine," and I don't know if that was going to be me saying that to him or him saying that to me. But either way, I wasn't really trying to get involved with that. Something like
that.
I'm
not trying to do that.
I'm not trying to do that. Then there's a lyric to a Michael Jackson song where he talks about diamonds and pearls and in a negative way or something like that. There was a rivalry between them.
Whoa.
Yeah. But it was maybe a kind of a friendly rivalry, maybe. I don't know. But. But anyway,
wait, I got some rivalry stories here that I just looked up.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a bunch. You can watch tons of YouTube videos, interview footage.
The purple one.
The purple one.
The purple one apparently tried to run over MJ with his limousine, according to equally legendary producer Quincy Jones.
That ain't true.
No.
That ain't true. Quincy's known for his pranks, you know. He's known for starting rumors around Hollywood. Quincy. Anyway. All right,
oh,
I do.
Didn't he name his kid Prince?
Yeah, he did name his kid Prince. Yeah.
Oh, so who's the who gets the last laugh? Huh.
Well, Prince, I guess the young.
Well,
Prince.
maybe it's just like okay, so maybe Prince is like, haha, you name your kid after me since you think we have a beef going on, right? You think you're better than me? Then why'd you name your kid? He's probably like. I named my kid, so like my kid will be more famous than you, and the main prince of history will be my son, not you.
He said, "No, Prince. The reason that I named him that is because I love you, Prince."
Prince.
I don't know. I was trying to do this. He does this weird thing where he kind of goes, "Michael Jackson, he sucks." He has this way where he kind of talks through his teeth a little bit, you know? I love you all, little one. What if I start calling you little one, Doug? Hey, little one.
If you start calling me little one, I'll be looking for you with my limousine.
Why don't you name your son Brent? I start calling you little one.
I'll name my son Brent Weinbach. Just his full name, like his last name is your last name.
Right, Brent Weinbach, Lusenhop.
And I'll do everything in my power from the day he's born to like Tiger Woods him into greatness. Kind of like Tiger Woods' dad, like, you know, kind of, if you watch the documentary, it seemed like he was like a, he made that Doug, kid like be a golf
listen,
expert.
Doug Lucianhop.
I'll bring, that's how I'll Michael get, would say your name.
As soon as my kid is born, Brent Weinbach, my son, I'm going to be watching, I'm going to, he's never going to watch any Nickelodeon or what, are those big, what are those big blobs that like dance around and the sun comes up? Vic? Hmm?
The big blobs? Like, from what? Wait, what?
What's that child show where it's just like, wee, mama, mama, mama.
Oh,
Teletubbies.
Teletubbies.
Yeah, they ain't watching Teletubbies. They ain't,
Booba. Booba's the better
Yeah,
one.
They ain't watching any of that. They're going to watch stand-up comedy.
Oh, I thought you were going to say they're not watching Nickelodeon or Disney Channel. They're watching Cinemax.
Yeah,
they're watching late night Cinemax. That's it.
No, he's going to be watching stand-up comedy from the day he's born. I'm going to get him watching all the greats. Sam Kinison, you know?
I watched all that when I was a kid, personally, by the
no,
way.
No, but I'm going to like train him to be a comedian from like,
I started watching stand-up. I probably started getting into stand-up at the age of 6.
Well, no, my Brent Weinbach, he's going to be getting into stand-up at like the age of 6 months. In his crib is going to be a brick wall on one side. As soon as he can stand, he's going to be doing stand-up.
The whole crib is surrounded by brick wall. It's not even, it's not even bars, you know? It's just straight brick
no,
wall.
No, it's
wall
not.
All
one,
around.
The back is brick wall. The other side of it is bright lights.
Right.
Stage lights.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the stuffed animals aren't going to be animals. They're going to be like stuffed like audience.
You're going to actually no
stuffed audience is what I'm going to put in this crib.
Well, how about just get real audience? You know, start them early on a real audience.
Pay people to sit there.
Yeah, pay people to sit there and just have drinks and stuff, and bring their dates and stuff. You bring guys with like big, just big '80s glasses.
We'll do bottle service, maybe like baby bottle.
Everybody's got to have a mustache and stuff. You can have a those mobiles or whatever, those things that hang over the baby's crib. You can have one that has, you know, a picture of Richard Pryor's face on it. Just different facial expressions of Richard Pryor hanging from that. Different. Something like that. Or, you know what you could do?
I was thinking nothing like that. And it's just.
No, but it's Richard Pryor's face.
Mm-hmm.
Doing different facial expressions. Or you can have a mobile that has the 7 bad words that you can't say. You know, George Carlin. He basically has the 7 bad words.
Those are his first words.
Right. His first words are the 7 forbidden words or whatever they are. What are they again?
A lot of babies, they start going by daddy or mama. This one's going to be.
Go on.
Fuck. I don't know. What are the, how many, is there 5 or 7?
There's 7, I think.
Fuck shit. I think the C word is in there. I think the.
Oh, you didn't want to say
7 dirty words from George Carlin's 1972. You can never say that on television. Shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, yeah. Motherfucker, and tits.
It's odd that tits is in there, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, well, maybe that's part of why it was. Maybe that's like kind of a punchline at the end of like. Because you can say, why would motherfucker be, if you can't say fuck, of course you're not going to say motherfucker.
I mean, how is the N-word not in that list?
Right.
No, back then it was just a regular common word that.
Oh,
prescription jugs.
No big deal.
But anyways, so I just wanted to clarify something from last episode.
Okay.
If that's cool. Or do you want to keep going down a bad word?
No, let's clarify. I mean, what? Is this what? Necessary?
Well, it is, but it leads in. I mean, it's not super necessary, but it leads into a new thought.
Okay.
Okay.
And so it goes a little something like this. So last week, to briefly, what was it? No. Was it last week or 2 weeks ago? Sorry, it was 2 weeks ago. I proposed what do you want to call it? A law breakdown of age of consent. Do you remember this? Mm-hmm. I came up with a new way to deal with underage situations where people don't just turn 18 and they're legal. It's a gradual thing where their dating range or whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. It gets bigger and bigger as they get older until they're 25. That's when they're truly legal. Okay. Now, I just wanted to clarify this, that I don't have I don't want it to sound like I propose that as a sort of moral thing. I don't have any negative judgment about people with big age disparities between the person they're dating, you know, so, or going out with. So for example, if a 35-year-old goes out with a 20-year-old, I don't have a negative judgment about that. In case anybody has that, the reason I proposed this new system is because I think it's a better system than what, if you're going to have a system, it's better than the one that exists right now. But I don't have, but you know, people have make connections in different ways. And sometimes a 30-year-old might connect with a 60-year-old somehow, and that's just how it is, and whatever, you know. People have their ways of connecting. So I just didn't want anybody to think that I had a negative judgment about that, in case anybody is involved with in a relationship where there's a big age.
I think that the laws are similar to that, where it's like there's a difference between a 22-year-old dating an 18 or 7, whatever it is, 17, then like a 55-year-old, right?
Yeah. No, they do. That's what it spawned from, is that there are these stipulations where, you know, if a 15-year-old can be with a 15-year-old is legal if the other person's not older than 18 or 19 or something like that. But
great balls of fire.
But anyways, so this leads into, I wanted to propose a policy with regards to underage people getting into bars and so forth. Okay. So as I proposed before, 25 maybe should be the drinking age. But the thing is when I was 18 years old, my friends were all older, a few years older than me. And it was really frustrating not being able to go hang out with them where they were going to go hang out. Exactly.
Oh, come on, fucko.
I mean, eventually, and I was the kind of person, I wasn't going to drink, and I didn't want to drink, and I was never going to be drinking anyway. And I also had this thought that someone might be a more responsible drinker someone who's 30 might be an irresponsible drinker, more irresponsible than someone who's 21 or whatever. So I just thought doing it by age is it's kind of arbitrary and kind of unfair, and I wanted to propose this. We do it by age, but then we also, you can take a test, kind of like TSA PreCheck, where you don't even take a test with that, but you get an evaluation. You go in and get an evaluation, and you get a special ID card that is really hard to fake, that can let you go into bars and clubs if you are under 21 and say, you know, 18, or basically if you're 18, between 18 and 21, you can use this card to prove that you've been evaluated and that you are, that you're mature enough to be in there. Basically, you take these maturity tests and stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. And also, or maybe there can be a thing where you have to wear a bracelet or something like that that shows that, oh, you can't serve this person alcohol, you know?
Well, I mean, we could go down this road. I mean, there's a lot of things that could use, but it's just not going to happen. It's too difficult.
Yeah.
Too much bureaucracy. It's just got to be like this, it's got to be simple for society to function.
Because
right? You just got to have this one age. If you're 21, get in. If you're not, get out.
But it's, you know, I'm over here. I'm 18 years old. I just want to see the band play.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. I just want to go to the show. You can't let me go to the show. I just
want to. I feel like they have that. You get a wristband.
Or they put a big X on you.
Yeah, I mean, they've had that, Brent. I've seen that. You get a wristband if you're old enough to drink. If you're if you're under 21,
they do see the show. They do do that sometimes. They have that. They don't always do that.
You don't want to get sued if that person ends up drinking, kind of?
Something like that. But they I mean, you know, I definitely was not able to get into different things when I was 18, and it sucked. I would try to. I would think, well, maybe they'll let me in. And no, they didn't. And I just want to hang out with my older friends here. And so I'm just saying, let's get some maturity tests going here.
You have a lot of older friends growing up? Like much older?
Well, no, I didn't college. Once I was in college, I had older friends.
Right.
And
I think everyone should in society should get a test to see how stupid they are. And if they're like kind of dumb, they should be like forced to be smarter.
Forced to give up their a voting card or
something. Right. Yeah, something like that. No vote. No driving.
No driving for sure.
You know, there should be like if you're a bad driver, you should be this like lower citizen that only gets to drive on special, like your car can only go 25 miles an hour, you know?
Oh, special lanes.
Special idiot lanes.
Well, they could just be called special lanes.
It's like a big yellow, like you're obviously, it's like a shame lane, you know? Right. It's like you're over there, like turn all the shoulders into like dunce lanes.
Actually, you know what'd be funny is if they all
your car gets like painted yellow, so you or like you know some color no other car is right,
like flashing lights on it,
pink and yellow striped. So you just have to be like if you do a dumb, instead of getting a ticket, you should get shamed and a ticket, and then you could drive in the dunce lanes.
You've ever gotten a ticket?
I've gotten a ticket, but I'm talking about for something. Maybe it's like a three strike thing or something, you know, like, okay, I've gotten a speeding ticket before, but you know, I haven't gotten one of those for like 10 years.
Okay. Okay. There you go.
Oh yeah.
There just needs to be more negative reinforcement in society.
Vic, you got the ticket?
Yeah, I did get a ticket years ago.
The golden ticket?
I did, yes, and I got bored with the chocolate factory. Just gave it away to somebody. Gave it back to Willy Wonka. Yeah, I was getting on 78 in New Jersey to go back home to Pennsylvania from work, and right at the entrance ramp is where a cop sits, and I forgot that day because you have to speed up to get on the highway, but he gets you with his, you know, speed gun before you get on the highway, so it's just like bullshit trap, you know. But then I was so pissed off. I tried to fight it. I found a book on like how to beat a traffic ticket, and I showed. I didn't even have to, like, I wasn't supposed to be there for the sentencing. You know, it's like they just mail it. But they're like, if you want to show up, you can try to, you know, fight this if you want. If you don't agree with it, and I did, and I was like the first one to get called because they figured it would just be quick. And I got like all pissed off with the prosecutor, and like he's like, you know what? You go back out there. I'll get to you later. And then he made me sit there most of the day. while there's more serious things going on. And we settled, you know, for a slightly like lower speed than I originally was going, and it saved me a couple dollars, but then I still had to pay court fees, you know, so it didn't quite work out. And so yeah, don't pretend to be your own lawyer. You know, that's what I learned from that.
Yeah, I heard if the cop doesn't show up, then it's kind of like tossed out. But the cop showed up.
Well, he's like, I was like, well, he didn't. I was like, the guy didn't show me the speeding gun to show me that I was speeding, which is like something they're supposed to do, which I read in this book. And he's like, oh, okay. Well, let me call the police officer. And he comes in, and it's like this big jacked guy, like some guy I would never want to talk to like in my life. And he's like, yeah. Oh, I remember you. You were rude to me. Like, and then the. Then I had to sit there all day. It's a disaster.
Are you a bad boy?
Not really. No. I get pissed off at authority, I think, is what it is.
You really? You're anti
authority. Yeah, I have a weird complex with that. Yeah. Get like mad at cops. And I think that they years ago, like 20 years ago when I was like, you know, first driving, a buddy of mine, we were just driving home. I was taking him home like midnight or something, and this cop just pulled me over for no reason, which I didn't know at the time. And he's like, "You were swerving." I'm like, "What? No, I was not swerving." And then he like held us there for like 20 minutes. Like, there's no way I was swerving. I wasn't drunk or anything. And that's when I learned cops lie, you know, right there. Ever since.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Did you, you know, you don't, you get upset with authority or you get mad at authority.
Mm-hmm.
What about not actual authority figures like police or whatever, but people who act like they are authority figures? So just regular people who talk down to you, do you get upset with them?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Like, yeah. People that, yeah, totally. That's, I get pissed off at stuff like
so
that.
So whenever anyone tries to tell you what to do, do you just think it makes you not want to do it, makes you want to do whatever the other thing is more?
Right. And not acknowledge. Yeah. Totally. Uh-huh. I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
Because like I think they're not out, whoever that figure isn't out to help others, just helping themselves. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. In a way. And that's where it comes from, I guess. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where I'm going with that thought, but yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay. What about you, Brent?
I will say that too. I when somebody tries to take a tone of they know better than you, or they try to talk down to you as if they're your parent, that'll make me want to do whatever the opposite is, just because you know.
Right.
There's a way to respectfully talk to people and not treat them like they're below you or something like that. Even with actual authority figures too.
I don't know. And even more of it comes from when I worked at Subway, and I'd have these people, you know, I'm this like 16, 17 year old kid, and they're coming in and just like treating these kids like shit that are just trying to, you know, just make their, you know, get through school and, you know, pay their gas money or whatever, like working minimum wage.
They're just trying to pay their high school tuition.
Right. their high school tuition. Yeah. And I remember one specifically lady that was like so mean, and she just gave me so much shit, and I just like started yelling at her. And I and then I told her on the way out, like, "Why don't you take my garbage out with you?" Like yelling, like this garbage bag that I had sitting next to me. Like, "Why don't you just take this out?" Yeah.
Did you get fired?
No, I didn't get fired. Yeah, she didn't. I don't know if the cameras weren't on that day.
What did you say? What else do you want? You want a cold cut combo? How about this? How about this for a cold cut?
She's like, "What do you look at you? Look at what you're doing with your life. You're working at Subway." I'm like, "Well, I'm in school, miss." And like, I got pissed off. And like, and then I think like,
is that what you sounded like in high school?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah,
and you sounded like Michael Jackson with a little bit of, like on a with a cold or something like that.
Get your phone out of here, Subway. Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Have it your way.
You should have called her little one. You should have said, "What are you talking about, little one? I'm in school right now, little one. Are you making fun of me?"
You know, that's funny because like on the in the Discord, people are asking what jobs we had before we got into entertainment. And they even said, this goes out to Vic too, if he's there.
Yeah.
I mean, I did a podcast, Brooks Whelan's podcast. It's all about like jobs you had before you got into the entertainment biz. So you made it big like I did. and I've had, you can hear that episode or I can go through some of mine, but I've had so many jobs. It's like mind boggling.
Me too.
When I was 16, I worked at Juul. I was as a grocery store pushing carts.
You worked at Juul selling vape pens.
Yeah. I pushed carts in the slush. And then I worked at another grocery store called Apple Foods. I worked I worked like an old folks home, like making delivering food to someone.
That sounds pretty rewarding.
The Apple Foods, they have different products there, such as the you know, the macaroni and cheese air, you know,
iMac and cheese.
Oh, the iMac and cheese. Yeah, they have got the you know, if you want to get a, you know, they got the iBanana, they got the cereal air, whatever, I don't know. Uh-huh. They got the USB, they got the you know, milk pod.
You done?
I'm trying over here.
Yeah, then I worked at a skate shop. And I remember when I worked at that skate shop, this guy that pretended to be my friend, he was stealing.
Oh, no.
And I busted him.
Oh, you told on him?
Well, no, I caught him red-handed. He had, like, something stuffed under his shirt. And I was just like, I'm not going to tell on you, but what the hell? Put that back. You know, I felt like put me in a really weird position. Right. And then the owner started learning that things were getting stolen. And then I kind of had to quit. It's one of those things where it's like, you're not fired, but you got to find some other job soon.
Yeah. I remember seeing somebody.
You're not
do that.
Fired, but how about you just get out of here?
I worked at Subway. I worked at TCBY, this country's best yogurt.
You ever go to Subway? That's a whole afternoon at that.
Oh, that's Sebastian. That's Sebastian from Moscow.
What the fuck?
That's Sebastian.
What are you, nuts? What are you doing? What are you doing? You ever go to Subway?
What's the whole what? I want to know, why does it take an afternoon over there?
You ever go to Subway? That's a whole afternoon.
I don't have the rest of it. It's all like clipped of it.
I mean, I'm sure he probably, this is how he does it. He just describes stuff and he does it in his way. So he just goes, so then they take the bread out and they do, you want it toasted or not toasted?
Right.
And then you have to make a decision. And then the guy, okay. And then the guy in front of you doesn't sure if he wants to get it toasted or untoasted. I'm over here. And then he put, you want some mustard on it? And he's like, put some mustard on it. He always does that kind of thing. You know? Or he does a thing where he's just like, and he's squeezing the mustard out. Over. You know, he does these kind of things.
Right. He's funny.
I mean, wait, is that him, Sebastian, right
yeah,
there?
Yeah, yeah.
What the fuck? What the fuck?
It's like, bop, 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 bop. Very musical.
Bop, 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 bop. It's the, what is that sound?
I worked at Kinko's, three different Kinko's, locations.
Kinko's Biloba.
Three different locations of Kinko's. I also worked at Copy Max, which is a Kinko's mom and pop copy shop.
Where did you start?
I quit Kinko's and went to mom and pop.
Nice.
I think I took a pay cut. And it was like, I was the only employee. I was kind of the only employee.
So doing more work than at Kinko's?
Not really. They didn't have the kind of
it wasn't the same business.
It wasn't quite the amount of people coming in to Copy Max. Uh-huh. Copy Max is still there on Milwaukee Avenue. In Chicago. Then I worked at Teletech Video for these, like, all these guys died that worked there. Just the weirdest bosses of all time. And, like, one of them was, like, a crackhead. And I think they all died. Just very strange. Because once in a while, we would, like, me and my friends that worked there, we'd be, like, kind of look them up or something. One of us looked one of them up, and then we were like, holy shit.
Jesus.
It was like in the trades. It was like, so-and-so died. I was like, whoa. And then I looked up. I don't know. It's weird. Yeah, that was just
weird. Like young, or were they like?
They weren't like old, but they were like, you know, 50s or something. I don't know. It was just strange, 50s or 60s. But that was just a weird. I also worked at this place called Video Productions, Inc.
Maybe he died of radiation on his buttocks, you know, from Xerox, doing too many Xerox copies of his butt cheeks on the.
No, that was at a video. That was at a video dubbing.
Oh, I'm thinking it's Copy. I was just thinking.
No, Copy Max is still there.
Guys are still alive. Okay.
He's still alive. Yeah, he's still kicking.
Well, maybe the guy just you know, videotaped his buttocks, you know, and he just somehow that maybe his butt got stuck in the VCR, like, all, I don't know, something happened.
I worked at this place called Video Productions, Inc. in Addison, Illinois, when I was in 18 or 19 in, like, junior college. That's when I realized I wanted to do, like, video stuff. So I thought I could get a job at a video place, and that's where I did, like, wedding videos, and I made copies, and a lot of weird shit went down at that place.
We've got to do some videos.
What's the weirdest thing that ever happened?
I can't talk about that.
You can.
What?
Well, here's a weird thing that happened.
Whoa!
People would bring in old movies, you know, like 8mm. We had a converter that converted it to video, you know, like their old home movies from the 60s and 70s. And we even had a 16mm one. And somebody brought in like a porn from like the silent film era. Mm-hmm. And I had to,
like, was it their like grandparents and they didn't know?
Just like a lot of creeps came through, like with weird stuff. And the owners would be like smoking pot in the bathroom. And they were like in their 50s or 60s. And one of the guys got like an 18-year-old girl pregnant. And then he like moved to Minnesota. It was like so strange. And then I was like, me and the other guy. Yeah. The mailman came in and he was like, make me a copy of this. And I'm like, what's this? And it was like a homemade porn of like just like a really disturbing homemade porn. And the mailman was like laughing about it with me. Like, can you believe what she's sticking up her? And I don't know you. I was like 18 years old.
The mailman? Like, what
that? The mailman.
It was like
mailman. He's like, can you believe what's on this tape? Look at this shit. And it was like the nastiest like homemade porn. And he's like, can you believe what this housewife is doing?
Wait, what was she doing?
She was using various dildo kind of things.
So we're talking.
Was just like, it was not like arousing. It was just more like,
I know. What
the hell is this weird ass like video?
But it
was just so bizarre that the mailman was like, you got to see this thing, man. Like, it's not like a guy that I know that well.
It wasn't made for like public consumption, too, right? It wasn't like people weren't.
No, it was like I found this in the bin, or it was like something like
private
that.
Videos.
Yeah.
They're silent too. I guess like all the tapes were.
No, that was a VHS. That was a homemade VHS. Okay. You know, probably from the 80s or something. The silent one was like, it was black and white, and it kept breaking. I remember I had to like keep splicing it together. Oh, but it was like a casting couch scene, you know, where it was like a casting director. And then it would cut to the silent film little screen. It was like, why don't you sit on this couch, young lady? You know, like the text
where
came
the
up.
Text came up?
Where the text comes up? Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, wait, what? There was text?
I didn't know.
I told you
it
was from the silent film area. It was like the.
No, I know, but
the text
I
comes
it was
up.
More unofficial, but this was some sort of official release or something.
Official release? This one wasn't. Yeah, I mean, it was like.
Well, produced, the fact that there were title cards. I mean, there was. It was kind of somewhat produced. I got the impression that it was just some amateur. Someone took an amateur silent film of somebody getting naked or whatever. Was there what kind of?
No,
stuff
this was like full on. The guy goes, "Well, let me get my lambskin."
Really?
Yeah, he puts on a lambskin condom.
It was. Let me ask you this: was there penetration?
Yeah.
What? Really?
I mean, it was all shot from like. From what I remember, I think it was just like kind of like one wide,
right?
You know, like shot.
And it was penetration in the silent film.
I think if I remember,
I would imagine that they did back in the day.
I
mean, this could be. Yeah. I mean, this could be like, you know, they doing it in the underground, and they got people that work in the film biz to put right up those title cards. They just did it on, you know, in the underground.
Did people back in the teens and the 20s? Did they
have sex?
Did they do penetration?
In the 69, my Humpty nose will tickle your rib.
Brent, all I'm telling you is what I saw, okay? The film seemed to be quite old. It was breaking every minute. I had to keep stopping the thing and paste. So it was clearly like this old.
I had a beat off.
Let me, you know, I'm looking up.
Maybe it's on archive.org. It's like
oldest pornography
in the world.
The film.
Oldest pornography on earth.
I'm coming day and night.
The oldest known porno movie predominantly features a car.
What? Oh, they got a scene from it right there.
You can watch the full length here. Yeah, look. There's
look who directed it.
It has a jokey title. So it said directed by A. Wise Guy, photographed by Will B. Hard, titles by Will She. Yeah, it has like.
What year is it?
It says it's a Model T, 1908 Model T, 1912. I don't know. This is a long article. I'm not trying to read this whole article, but.
Well, what year is the dang thing?
Well, there's a lot of shit here. I'm trying to get through it. There's no. It doesn't say right off the top. It's like.
You reckon? Do you think it was French, or do you think it was?
Oh, 1915 movie.
Okay. Wow.
It's probably French.
It's called A Free Ride. It's a stag film, Brent.
Stag?
That's what they used to call those, a stag film.
Oh, yeah?
You guys want to go watch a stag film?
Stag.
Oh, it's also called a blue movie or a smoker. Want to go watch a smoker? Oh, is a type of pornographic film produced secretly in the first two-thirds of the 20th century. Isn't that interesting? Typically, stag films had certain traits. They were brief in duration, about 12 minutes at most, were silent, depicted explicit or graphic sexual behavior, intended to appeal to men, and were produced clandestinely due to censorship laws.
I masturbate a lot.
In Europe, stag films were often screened in brothels. So film historians describe stag films as primitive forms of cinema because they were produced by anonymous and amateur male artists who generally failed in achieving narrative coherence and continuity.
Well, at least they tried.
Today, many of these films have been archived by the Kinsey Institute. However, most stag films are in the state of decay. See, like I said, like the one I looked at. And have no copyright, credits, or acknowledged authorship. The stag film era ended due to the beginnings of the sexual revolution in the 50s, Brent.
Sexual revolution? Do the penis
thing? Wait, what?
What?
What'd you say?
Do you want me to do the penis thing? Somebody sent me that drop, too.
Is that Joe Rogan? Just kidding. I know it's you.
I know I had more jobs. I had more jobs too.
I got probably.
Let's hear about your jobs.
I probably don't have as many as you, but I got.
Do your jobs have wonderful stories like mine do about stag films?
Yeah, I got.
Oh, and let me tell you one other thing about that place where I saw the stag film. So these guys were like older guys. One of them got like an 18-year-old girl pregnant. He left the state, but before that, one time they came up to me. They were like shady guys, you know what I mean? They were like, it's hard to explain. You just had to see them. They were just like shady characters. One of them was like, Doug, can you get us some pot? You know, they wanted me to get them weed or something. And I had like, at this point, I never smoked pot. I never even seen marijuana before. I was like sheltered. I was pure as the driven snow when I was 18. I said, no, I can't. I don't know. I don't do that. I don't know anything about that. And they look at each other like, man, these kids these days, they don't do drugs. It's okay. Not cool. They're like, man, it's not cool to do drugs anymore with these dumb kids or something. It was like opposite. It was like they were mad at me for not getting. Wouldn't like the teenager be the one trying to get drugs and like the 50-year-old guy trying to like be the moral compass. It was like the reverse.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like family ties, basically. You know, the parents are hippies, the kids are conservatives.
Yeah. Well, I, you know, as I said before, I based
Michael
my
J. Fox.
Childhood, Michael J. Fox was my hero.
Right.
I was growing up.
Well, I was a babysitter. I mean, this wasn't a full-time job, but I did babysitting when I was a teenager. I did a magic show, or I tried to do magic. But really, I started having real jobs.
Want to hear that? Hey, little one.
Oh, yeah, I heard. Sorry, Brent.
Oh, no problem.
I go to the ending.
Oh.
I love
it. That's a good song.
This is one. That's my number two most favorite theme song for a TV show.
What's number?
There's two versions of that song, by the way.
What's number one?
Number one is going to have to be Punky Brewster.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah.
I can't think of how that. I'm going to put that on.
It's not memorable at all.
It is very. It's maybe the world that needs. Just a
little. Is this it?
Yeah. Seems you can't be sure
of anything anymore. Although you may be lonely and then one. Cut it.
No, what do you mean cut it? Hold on. The chorus, you didn't get to the chorus.
Oh.
All right.
Well, it gets better.
All right.
I mean, that's good all the way through. It's solid. But look, Family Ties is really good, too. There's two versions of the Family Ties.
Making your way in the world today takes everything. Well,
by the way, the person who wrote the Cheers theme song wrote the Punky Brewster theme song and is also the voice that you hear on both of those songs.
What about Welcome Back?
And his name is Gary Portnoy, by the way, in case anybody's interested. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Welcome Back is good.
This is my favorite. Hold on.
Did he write Greatest American Hero?
Oh, that's a good one. Wait, hold on.
Yeah, I do.
Oh, you should play some theme songs and we'll try to guess them. Oh, MASH.
That's my favorite.
Yeah.
And you ever hear the original? Like the
wasn't that written by? Yeah, wasn't that written by Robert Altman's daughter or son?
It's his son. His 14-year-old son wrote the lyrics to it.
The most depressing lyrics.
Yeah.
Ready? Wait.
Altman's son.
There's a version with the lyrics.
It's called Suicide is Painless.
Yeah.
Yeah, we know.
We know. We all know. Let's see.
Family Ties, the version that most people know is the one that's sung by Johnny Mathis and Denise Williams, but is that right? I guess so.
How did this 14-year-old write so many words?
Wait, what is this? Suicide is Painless?
Yeah.
And I can see that suicide is painless. It brings on many changes, and I can take or leave it if I please.
Actually, the lyrics are pretty stupid. Suicide is painless. It brings on many changes. Okay, it brings on one change, and I can take it or leave it if I please.
What's the story? Well, why would he? Yeah, what's that?
That's not true, actually. If suicide brings about a lot of changes in other people's lives.
Okay, I'm just saying, like, I can take it or leave it if I please. I don't know. It's like,
well, I think the idea is it's the person just doesn't even care. It's an existential song, you know. It's just about
why is Robert Altman's son called Johnny Mandel? You know what I mean?
That's not.
That's the guy who wrote the.
No, he wrote the he composed he wrote the song.
Yeah, and then his son.
Okay.
All right. Look,
imagine having that money though from the theme song. It was like, you know, 9 years of MASH, like one of the biggest shows ever.
Mike Altman,
like 14 when you wrote those.
That's crazy.
Okay, so yeah, Mike Altman wrote it.
So,
and he's a film director.
Oh.
What did he write?
Stag movies.
He produced Pray for Our Planet in the year 2020.
Pray for a Planet.
Well, so the first kind of real job I had, though, was because, you know, I was being an extra for TV show. I was being an extra for TV shows and movies, you know. And that was an interesting job. You know, you met a lot of different people, you know, actors trying to break into the business and stuff. And, you know, you saw different stars and you went to different locations. It's kind of interesting. Minimum wage, though, you get if you're non-union.
Were there any of the shows you're in?
I was in Party of Five. I already kind of like have talked about this on the podcast, but I was in Party of Five. I was in,
he was in a movie and he pranked the background. He's in two opposing shots.
Oh man.
He's like an extra in one shot. And then the reverse angle, he's in that one too.
I did it on purpose.
I know. What's that one called?
Drowning Mona.
Drowning Mona.
Oh my God.
He ruined Drowning Mona.
But I also was a pizza delivery driver, you know. I mean, I've talked about this before, but I delivered all kinds of people, you know what I mean? Thomas Hayden Church. Whoa. From Thomas Hayden Church to Mark McGrath to Brad Pitt even one time.
And what pizza place was it again?
A bunch of places. There was Jacopo's Pizza. There was two locations for that. There was one in Hollywood and one in Beverly Hills. And then I did Pache, which is still around, Pache.
Who was the meanest celeb that you delivered to?
Well, Thomas Hayden Church kind of – he was a little stingy. I mean, he was a little particular. He was, yeah. And Tobey Maguire, they weren't.
Okay.
They were, I mean, I wouldn't, saying mean is maybe a bit of an overstatement, but they were just not the nicest.
They wouldn't give you an autograph?
Yeah, I wanted to get my breast autographed by Thomas Hayden Church. I just wanted him to write the word sideways on it. But even though Sideways hadn't come out yet, but Sideways wasn't even in anybody's imagination yet. But I thought I just had this idea, you know, I just thought this could be worth something. You know? I don't know. No. So I was a delivery driver. I did extra work and delivery driving during college. And then I also started playing piano professionally in college as well. I was a piano player. And then after college, I did it full time playing piano at hotels and restaurants and stuff.
You know, one time after college, I was trying to get into the movie biz around Chicago. I got a job working on like some commercial that they shot up north somewhere. Anyway, I was just sort of like a PA, but they were like, can you drive the truck back? You know, like a big cube truck. Can you drive back into the city? You know, this is your big chance, you know, to like
your big chance.
Kind of like, yeah, you know,
to move up.
Can we count on you? I was like, sure, I can drive a huge ass truck that I've never I have a hatchback that I've driven my whole life, but yeah, I can definitely drive a giant truck through downtown Chicago, no problem. And then I clipped a brand new Cadillac.
Oh shit.
That was parked, that the valets illegally parked, you know, like on the edge of some, you know, corner. It was the valet's fault, really. But I had to take the, and then the guy who owned it was the dad of like somebody from the film company somehow, like some crazy coincidence. After that I was like, never called me again.
I almost was going to be a limo driver. I auditioned for it basically in San Francisco to be a limo driver. And the guy said that he thought I was good talking to, they had to test me on talking to the passenger. You know, that was part of the evaluation and the driving. But then at one point I almost, I was trying to park the car. I mean, it's a big car. It was a limousine, right? And I almost touched another car. And the guy said, whoa. He said, all right, get out the car. And that kind of, he said, yeah, he's, you know, I like, your talking was good, but the driving wasn't, you know, not quite there, you know.
But what person like renting a limo wants the driver to talk to them? You know,
they want that. These people want that. I mean, this is back in the old days when people were not on their phones all the time as much. Yeah. You know, they were just, you know, you get picked up by the limo driver. He's, you know, they want to, you talk to him. You say, oh, what are you here for business?
You're like this. You're like,
yeah.
What are you here for?
Exactly. Yeah. I just like it. Yeah. So, no, we're good. Don't worry about it. Hey, if you see anything, let me know. You know, if you see anything crazy, just let me know. Oh, okay.
My friend was a limo driver in Chicago for a while. I was just in Chicago over the weekend. And he was telling me these crazy stories about that. Maybe I can get him on the line for After Dark.
But yeah.
Chicago. By the way, I gained 3 pounds in Chicago. I was there for 4 days. I felt kind of bloated when I got home. I'm like, I ate too much crap all weekend. I'm like, I bet I gained 5 pounds, and I look.
You better squeeze those pounds out, baby.
Now I'm up 3.
Well, you got to blast them out of their butt.
You live in Chicago? It's a pound a day.
Just keep going until you explode.
Eat that pizza. Yeah. Drink those hazy IPAs. What about Vic? Let's hear about Vic.
Oh yeah, my.
And then we'll go to After Dark. This is kind of a chill episode, don't you think, Brian?
My first job, I was like 14 or 15, and like 3 houses down from me on the corner of the street was a market and just a little like local deli. But they like smoked their own meats, and they had a butcher there. And my job was, you know, come in from high school, and I would take the meat grinder apart. And it was the most, you would have to like very carefully take this like stainless steel blade that was like a tape measure kind of, but it had, you know, blades all around it, like just horrible blades, and I would cut myself taking it apart, and all this raw meat everywhere, just splattered everywhere. And I'd have to put that in the sink, let it soak for a bit, and I'd clean that, and while it's like soaking and disinfecting, I would mop the floors of the place, and I would clean the smoker out in the basement. And I remember I would have to clean the bathroom too. I remember the owner like getting pissed off at me that I would you know, wash down the sink, but I wouldn't dry it enough. And he's like, Vic, come on in here. I want to show you something. And he like pointed to all these like little water droplets that I didn't wipe up, you know? And pretty soon after that, I was like, I got to get out of here. And then that's when I moved up to Subway, and I was there for like probably 4 years, because I was like there like the last 2 years of high school, and then like 2 years while I was in college, went on and home for break. And then from there,
is that what got you kind of interested in wearing visors?
That was the original. I used to like wear it out. I remember going to like parties and stuff wearing my Subway visor. I don't know why, but yeah. And then actually a couple of weeks ago, Brandon Walsh gave me a visor, and I've been gung-ho ever since. I got a compliment today. Some guy's like, that's a cool visor, man. And I'm like, yeah, you know. And he's like, they're gonna come back in style soon, don't worry. Like,
he said like, that to you? Yeah.
like you're worried about that.
Like that's my concern, you know. Right?
But he's kind of bagging on you in a way.
I know
that's not in style anymore, but don't worry, man.
Don't worry.
And I didn't want to double cross him, because it was at the weed what's it called,
the dispensary.
I always forget that word. And it was at the one where like 2 months ago a security guard shot another dude, like it was like in line fighting, so didn't want to like you know piss him off. But
you did feel insulted though?
Oh, I totally did. I was like, yeah, I just like kind of ignored it. But from there,
you should have said yeah, I hope so, man. I just, because I feel like a real dork right now.
Right.
I feel like a real dork wearing this stupid visor.
Such an asshole.
God, I cannot wait till these go back into fashion in a year.
Just walk out in tears.
I'm stuck with this on my head. I can't take it off. It's a curse. It's like the mask. You ever see the mask with Jim Carrey? Well, basically, this is the visor with Vic Berger.
Get my bell bottoms on and whatever.
Yeah. You should have told the guy. You know, you should have said something like, "You should have said, hey, look, can I just give you a quick opinion of what I think about you?
Yeah.
With your outfit? Right. One word, smoking." And that's what you'll be doing after you leave this dispensary.
And then I went to, I worked at Moravian Academy, which was like a private school. And I was like a groundskeeper kind of guy, cutting the grass, you know, doing all kinds of things. A lot of painting of classrooms. I painted like a huge 3-floor hallway one summer. Good experience. I know I'm not, I don't like manual labor though. So like, had to get out of that eventually. And then after college, my second to last job before I worked for like a decade with people with disabilities, like doing music there. But right before that, for about like 2 years, I worked at a beer distributor, which I don't know if you know what those are, but like in Pennsylvania and I think maybe one other state, you can't really, well, up until recently, you couldn't buy beer in the store. You would have to go to these private businesses that only sell beer, and you could only buy a case. You couldn't buy a six pack. A beer distributor.
Where?
In Pennsylvania.
Huh. Right.
Okay. Yeah. So you couldn't, like, you had to buy your beer at this place, and it was a drive-through beer distributor. So like drunk people would just roll in to this like big garage and say, "Give me a Busch 30," you know, and you would take the 30 pack of Busch and set it in their car, and they'd give you, you know, $20 and honk on their way out. And I was just doing that, and in the middle of winter too. It was like the worst. It was just so cold, and just waiting around for people to roll in. So,
by the way, I of course was a substitute teacher as well.
Right.
So that was,
by the way, home. Of course I worked at Enterprise Rent-A-Car.
Oh right, I guess Doug, you probably had the most jobs at anybody.
There's more too that I'm not remembering.
I mean, I've had other little odd jobs here and there, but the main ones were substitute teacher, piano player, and extra, and pizza delivery boy.
I'm trying to think what else I did. I had like, yeah, like I did work on when I was in college or around there. I worked on a film. You know, I kind of got in with these film people. I got this internship. This is where I went and met Fred Armisen when I was working on these at this internship in Chicago. And
I mean, I did an
internship. He was just like a local guy, like indie
before
rock.
He blew up.
Yeah, he was just like he wasn't even a comedian at all. He was just like a drummer in this band. He was like
but he was a charismatic guy.
He was very funny. I mean, he was clearly like,
"I'm warning you."
Yeah, like everyone loved him, and then he made fun of me like the first time I met him, and he made everyone laugh at my
right. response. Yeah, what did he do? He called you short or something?
They were like, "Hey, Fred, this is Doug. He's our intern." He goes, "Hey, little guy, aren't you a cute little guy?"
Oh boy!
And you know, at that point, I was like, I had a chip on my shoulder about like people teasing me, so I kind of hated him. But everyone was laughing, so I was like, "Yeah, he's funny. This guy's great."
Right.
And then I like fast forward. Many years later, I'm working on Portlandia, and there's a sketch called he plays like a small guy where they like they put his head like on a child's body, and he's like, "I'm just a little guy," and it was like the same kind
what
of
the hell?
Gag.
Right.
That is so like, weird, man.
I know. I'm just editing it like, what the hell is my life? What is going on here?
That is bizarre, man. That is truly bizarre.
Even though he teased me when I first met him, I soon became a huge fan of his. And he would like open for bands playing. He would like dress up as a girl and like host the show and like kind of like make fun. Like, you know, kind of like a Portlandia character. He would like dress up like, he would be like, "I work at the cafe." And
we should have him on the show.
We should get him on the show. Yeah.
We should get him on the show, and we should tell him. We should talk to him about you making fun of him and stuff. See what he says.
I've already talked to him about it. I think maybe
not you making fun of him. Him making fun of you. Oh, you did. What did he say?
But you remember it's the kind of thing that I don't want him to think I'm upset. Like I'm not. I was just like, at the time I was upset because I
was he
like I said I was like I was like I had a chip on my shoulder and I was like, whatever. Now looking back on it, yeah, he was just joking around. You know what I mean? He was making his friends laugh, and then he acts like I would act.
That is kind of something, though. You know, to call you, hey, little guy, gee whiz, man. That's kind of on some bully tip right there. You know, I mean, that is what a bully does. You know?
Look, that was a different time, okay?
Right. It's just interesting because he doesn't seem like a bully.
I don't think he
remembered
it. The thing is, he doesn't remember it.
He seems like such a, you know, soft kind of nice guy, you know, just a gentle kind of guy. You know?
No, he is a nice guy. He is.
Sweet guy.
Yeah.
Can't imagine him being a bully.
It was the 90s, dude.
Everybody was a bully.
Well, let's wrap up the main episode. What do you think?
Okay, fine.
Okay, fine.
I'm trying to think if there's any crazy stories from any of those.
You got any crazy stories? Vic, do you have any crazy stories from work?
Yeah, Subway, of course, was like just rampant stealing, like just with food, like giving people food. Like I remember I had friends would call me up like, can you get me like 4 party subs tonight? And I would be like, yep, I can do that. And we'd unplug the VCR, you know, that was recording everything. And
really?
Yeah, it was very easy to do. Yeah.
Whoa, that is really interesting. Great security system.
Not that they ever checked it anyway, but we would do that now and then. It was fine. The food, we would see how much stuff cost. It wasn't that much. Really, it's all like shitty, you know, bottom of the barrel stuff.
Yeah, I got fired from TCBY because they were like, you can have all the free yogurt you want. And then when my friends came in, I would just hook them up. Uh-huh. I would give them the big,
yeah,
like jugs of it, right, and just give them every sprinkle, everything.
But it wasn't for you, so they couldn't. Yeah,
and I got shopped. Do you know what that means?
What? Oh, I know. I do. It was like a secret shopper.
A secret shopper came and reported me.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I got shopped.
Yep.
Whoa! And you get fired?
Yeah.
Whoa! Wait.
But
wait,
I was like, wait. I was in high school. I was like 16 or 17.
How did they know? Because they were a stranger, so you weren't gonna get them free ice cream, but they saw you giving someone else.
They
free
know
ice cream.
That. I mean, if they're paying, they're a secret shopper. They're noticing that I don't happen to be charging certain obvious
people,
friends of mine.
Yeah. You know? Those people are getting paid to spy.
Yeah, they
you
know. They know.
They know what you're supposed to be wearing.
That kind of sounds like a fun job in a way. You know, it's kind of like being an undercover cop, except you don't have to be in the line of fire or anything. You know,
right?
Kind of want to do that.
I want to be, yeah, it'd be fun to be like.
It'd be fun to be a narc, you know?
It'd be fun to be a narc. Going to different.
Fast food narc.
And just tell
like
on
a
people.
Narc and you're like.
What if you're not getting paid?
What if you get paid by like a friend group to be like, get in our friend group and just see what's up with like Brent? Like, you know, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, find out.
Dude, that would be really interesting. I'd be really interested.
Find out if Brent doesn't like me because he seems to be kind of mean.
That'd be very interesting. That'd be fun to just be go undercover into infiltrate a scene and just see what's going on and get the lowdown on stuff. That'd be cool. I'm down, man. Let's do that. What do you want me to go investigate right now about you?
Oh, I got a
job. Is there a girl you like?
Yeah. Can you fly really far?
So here's what I would do is I could go live in her area and find out more about her. And then you know what the twist is that I end up falling in love with
right. her. Yeah, that's right. The movie. That's the movie.
Then we don't know what. Then we don't know what to do here. You know. Then you hire a new guy to infiltrate the group to see if I'm doing my job.
Then I hire one to follow you. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah, exactly. And you find out. There's more to. Oh, that's it. Now we've got
a private investigator.
Cool
investigator.
Well, here's what happens: you hire an investigator to check up on something. The investigator starts getting involved. So you hire a new investigator to investigate the first guy and the situation. And eventually the whole world is investigating. And you're the only one who's not. You're just kind of left behind the sidelines with nobody to investigate. It's the end.
Huh. Okay. I guess we'll see you next week. Bye, everybody.
Well, okay.
What?
Well, should we do our goodbye credits?
You don't want to end on that. I know, that was kind of a joke goodbye, but
I know, and it's funny, but you know.
Yeah, it's funny. It's so funny.
No, and I know, and it's very funny, but look, guys, I know the show has been a little bit lackadaisical or something like that, but if you do like it, give it a good review on Apple Music or whatever, you know.
I think this was a good episode. I don't think it's lackadaisical.
Well, I don't know. To be honest, I've been fighting a sleep spell this whole. I feel like I've been in a weird mode where I'm trying to.
I know. I think I saw you a couple times, like doing that sleep thing.
Yeah, I mean, I've been trying really hard to just keep it together, but it's been it was at its heaviest earlier, but anyway.
You like staying up too late, kind of thing?
Or
like
no, have- I just I feel like I have mild narcolepsy, I think, or something. You know, it just the sleep spell will come on, and I just can't fight. It's really hard to fight. But I did try fighting it today, actually, because it didn't feel as hardcore. I almost left at one point. But
if you never need to take a nap during the show, please don't hesitate. Just be like, I need to take my 5-minute nap.
Right?
No.
Do it.
Maybe.
I need you
but
sharp.
Anyway,
not lackadaisical.
No, exactly. No, I feel like I was off because I feel like I wasn't. I could have just been. I feel like I could have been more on, and I wasn't. You know. Anyway, the credits are. But if you like the show, regardless, even though you know I was off and whatever, give us a good review. You know, let's get it going. Let's get this thing blowing up. Let's be like Felipe Esparza over here. You know.
Let's blow it up.
And then also thank you to. Thank you to the team, Jackie Montana and Chloe Bonilla and Jack Birch, all up in the mix.
Do you have Nathan from the Irons working with you guys?
Never heard of her.
Wait, what? Seriously?
Who? Nathan? Who?
Wait, there's a dude named Nathan who I was talking to. Thought he ran your social media.
Nathan. No, he used to help us. I don't think he is.
He used to help us out. Yeah, he used to help us out. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I remember who you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah.
When did you meet Nathan?
Shout out to Nathan.
Yeah, his band covered like two or three of my songs, and it was like the most amazing thing. Yeah.
Oh wow, oh, that's cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think he used to help us out, and yeah, you know, best wishes to Nathan.
What's his band called? Give him a shout out.
I think it's Irons. Yeah.
Irons.
And they do covers of Vic Berger.
All right.
Check it out.
I don't mention it at the beginning, I just want to say that me and Jay Weingarten are hosting a show at Las Candiles in Los Angeles on August 19th. This is a
21 and over event.
This is a 21 and over. This is a club, okay? I'm going to say it's a Latina club.
Latinx.
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 And I don't think there's ever been a comedy show there, and it's a wild place. And we booked it. So
come on down.
Let's do it.
Come on down and bring your...
And thank you, Vic Berger, for being on the show today. Yeah, you know, I'm kind of lackadaisical, too. I flew back from Chicago. Let's go to After Dark. If you want to keep listening to the Poundcast, just go to Poundcast. Just go to patreon.com/Poundcast and sign up for our Patreon episodes.
Sign up for our mailing list.
Yeah, sign up for our Patreon.
Hey, if you want to keep listening to me struggling to stay awake on this episode, and it has nothing to do with Doug and Vic. It's just me. Just check us out on the After Dark, man. I'm going to be blasting.
See you next week. Peace. Well, the memories have all changed since you hung around. But those dreams have remained and they've turned around. than I thought they'd be. Wait.
Where we need ya. Yeah, we tease them a lot, but we got them on the spot. Welcome back.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. Welcome back, welcome back.